Chapter 11. The Destruction of Vermin. Captain Jimmy Shaw, a retired pugilist, ran the most famous of the sporting pubs, the Queen's Head, off Windmill Street. A visitor to that pub on the evening of August the 10th, 1854, would be greeted by a most peculiar spectacle, for although the pub was notably low-ceilinged, dingy and cheap, it was filled with all manner of well-dressed gentlemen, who rubbed shoulders with hawkers, costers, navvies, and others of the lowest social station. Yet nobody seemed to mind, for everyone shared a state of excited, noisy anticipation. Furthermore, nearly everyone had brought a dog. There were dogs of all sorts, bulldogs, Skye terriers, brown English terriers, and various mongrels. Some nestled in the arms of their owners, others were tied to the legs of tables or to the footrail of the bar. All were the subject of intense discussion and scrutiny. They were hefted into the air to gauge their weight, their limbs were felt for the strength of bones, their jaws opened for a look at the teeth. A visitor might then observe that the few decorative features of the Queen's Head reflected this same interest in dogs. Studded leather collars hung from the rafters. There were stuffed dogs in dirty glass boxes mounted over the bar. There were prints of dogs by the hearth, including a famous drawing of Tiny, the Wonder Dog, a white bulldog whose legendary exploits were known to every man present. Jimmy Shaw, a burly figure with a broken nose, moved about the room, calling, "Give your orders, gentlemen," in a loud voice. At the Queen's Head, even the best gentlemen drank hot gin without complaint. Indeed, no one seemed to notice the tawdry surroundings at all. Nor, for that matter, did anyone seem to mind that most of the dogs were heavily scarred of the face, body and limbs. Above the bar, a soot-covered sign read, "Every man has his fancy. Ratting sports in reality." And if people should be uncertain as to the meaning of that sign, their doubts ended at 9 o'clock, when Captain Jimmy gave the order to light up the pit, and the entire assembled company began to file towards the upstairs room, each man carrying his dog, and each man dropping a shilling into the hand of a waiting assistant before ascending the stairs. The second floor of the Queen's Head was a large room, as low-ceilinged as the ground floor. This room was wholly devoid of furnishings, and dominated by the pit, a circular arena 6 feet in diameter, enclosed by slat boards 4 feet high. The floor of the pit was whitewashed, freshly applied each evening.